Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 339, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my earnest cry, thy listening ear is heard. With thy salvation answer me, and I will keep thy word. And what follows, Psalter 339, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 10, the verses 25 through 37. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 10, the verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Thus far the scripture reading. Hope to remember in prayer Mr. John Bazoya, who is still in the hospital. Family of Mr. Brian Slingelant and friend, who still have not been found. The ongoing war in the Ukraine. And Mr. and Mrs. Jack and Mary Vandenberg, who hope to commemorate their 55th wedding anniversary. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, and almighty God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, where every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of all light, with whom there is no variableness, and nor shadow of a turning. Then it is pleased thee in thy mercy to grant unto us and our children another week, where thou hast graciously watched over each and every one of us, in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then we have received many gifts from above, gifts that most of our fellow travelers must miss. Then thy mercies have been multiplied, and also the reasons for thanksgiving, Lord. Then the earth is still so full of thy goodness and of thy mercy, and so empty of thy praise. May there be a people burdened with the same. Then it is pleased thee to grant another Lord's Day. We may commence another month. The first third of the year has quickly run its course. The man of God has declared in the scriptures that we fly away. So it is with us and our children, the weeks, the months, the years, and then the end shall come. And then we do well to examine our hearts, where we are flying to, to that never-ending eternity. And there are 2 ways. Lord, then thy goodness has been great over a sinful people. May there be souls burdened with their sins, ashamed thereof, and burdened with their debt, with a cry unto thee, the living God. The weeks gone by we were given to commemorate in a special way the resurrection of thy dear Son, And in those 40 days, then he has appeared unto his church. Lord, wilt thou do the same in this day? Thou knowest how we have spent a week, the night, how we have risen, and how we have come up to thy house. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. Do convert what is unconverted. May it be the day of thy sovereign free good pleasure, when many may be placed under the banner of the King. Lord, that is thy work from the beginning to the end. And thou usest the means of grace to that end, and as promised in thy word, that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou then be a wonder-doing God? And, O Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou further that work? Wilt thou grant comfort for the comfortless, instruction for the ignorant, encouragement for the discouragement, for thy people each time by renewal? Then thou art a surprising God. May it be so in this day. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all those that labor in thy vineyard, thy truly called servants. Wilt thou help the students in this day? Remember elders and deacons and the sowers of the word all over the earth. May it please thee to grant the increase. Lord, we commend unto thee two young couples who were united in holy matrimony in this past week, have begun life's journey together as man and wife, and it may be the first Lord's Day in their married life. May it please thee to make it a special and an unforgettable Lord's Day. It is special when they may sit in thy house as man and wife. But, Lord, wilt thou work lovingly, irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit? Wilt thou remember the many needs amongst us, the father in the hospital, under one successful surgery, hopefully the doctor's hope for yet a little extension of his life, and so we commend him unto thee by renewal with his dear wife, for body and soul, still in the precious day of grace. May they be granted the prayer of the publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, the difficulties of the body and the difficulties of the mind? May their eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou surround them with thy care and with thy compassion? Wilt thou remember all the elderly ones in the care home with those that care for them, those that may still go in and out? Remember them in the evening of their life for body and for soul. And, Lord, do remember all the mourning ones. Wilt thou uphold them? Remember the mourning family with the loss of a dear husband, father, son, brother, and further family member, with their fears, with their uncertainties. Wilt thou remember? Wilt thou uphold? And may the calling be sanctified. And, Lord, we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that they may yet be found. Wilt thou remember that people in a country where there is war, so much death, sorrow? Wilt thou uphold them? May they be given to cry unto thee. May that country experience that thou knowest of them. Wilt thou Grant them courage to continue. May it be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Lord, wilt thou not remember in this morning hour? May our help truly be in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. Wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening, and when by renewal we may be gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, may it be for the uncovering of sinners to their deplorable and lost state, their sin and their debt. May it be used as a schoolmaster to bring to that precious mediator, and also in the life of thy children in the way of sanctification, that they may be given to examine themselves, be more humbled, and be given to flee to that fountain of blood. Wilt thou so dwell amongst us with thy Holy Spirit? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 151, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. O God, be merciful to me, for man with constant hate would fain my ruin see. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 151, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 40, the question and answers 105 through 107. Question 105, what doth God require in the sixth commandment? Answer, that neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by an other, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge also, that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with a sword to prevent murder. Question 106. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. Question 107. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? Answer, no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness toward him, and prevent his hurt as much as in his lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Lord's Day number 40, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Four thoughts. First, what is excluded? Secondly, what is forbidden? Thirdly, the causes condemned. And fourthly, the virtues commanded. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. What is excluded? What is forbidden? The causes condemned, and the virtues commanded. Beloved congregation, then by renewal in this morning hour, we are called to stand at the foot of Mount Sinai. In the context of our Heidelberg Catechism, then it is in the part of gratitude and in the part of sanctification. Our form for the administration of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ also speaks of this commandment, that the true child of God is called upon to unfeignedly lay aside all hatred and all envy. Then what an shaming commandment that the sixth commandment is for the Lord's perfect creation. In paradise, there was perfect harmony in the animal world above all, between Adam and Eve and their Creator. There lieth nothing in between. And now at Mount Sinai, the Israelites, they have experienced wonderful things. The Lord has heard their cry. The Lord has heard their groaning. The Lord had respect unto his covenant. The Lord has sent his servant Moses together with Aaron to instruct the children of Israel concerning the things of the Lord. They were given to witness such marvelous things, the 10 plagues, and with the 10th plague, the Passover lamb was slain, the blood applied to the doorposts. And I read in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then the Lord has led them out. The Lord has led the way through the Red Sea. The Lord has given manna. The Lord has given water out of the rock. And he has brought them to the Mount Horeb. And then for such a people, what an shaming command that the Lord had to say unto those children of Israel that have been delivered in such a wonderful way, experienced this wonderful providence, have experienced this saving work, where the Lord was leading them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that has faithfully went before them and stood still to cover them by day and by night. And then for the Lord to have to say unto that people, now people of Israel, you must remember, you must not kill one another. What an shaming commandment. Is there a people that are ashamed at times? Under all the goodness, all the mercies, all the labors. When we read the 6th commandment, thou shalt not kill, must not understand it in an absolute sense, because there are matters that this commandment excludes. That word kill in the Hebrew, there are different words in the Old Testament that have reference to killing, but the word in this commandment that is special reference to the killing of human beings, then it is very evident that it excludes the animal world. After the flood, the Lord has declared to Noah that the flesh of animals would be for food. The Lord has instituted the sacrifices. Then in the 2nd place, because there are people that do not believe, that believe that they may not partake, be a soldier to fight in wars, then already in the early church, then the early church fathers, they have considered these matters very closely and written about what a just and an unjust war is. It is true, many times very complicated, also politically, but then our early church fathers have said, it is a just war when it concerns our religious freedom, our liberties, and also a war for defense when the enemy attacks us to that end. It is the calling of a country to have an army that may defend their country. In the second place, they have mentioned it must be declared by an authority. Not that everyone does what is right in their own eyes, but declared by an authority. In the third place, it must be the last resort, that all other means must have been used to come to a solution. In the fourth place, use a minimum force. And fifthly, to do their utmost that the civilians, the people, may be protected. When we think of the New Testament, then I read in Luke 3 that there were also soldiers that have come to John the Baptist asking what they must do. And then Jesus did not say they must go home, but they must be content with their wages. We read of different centurions which are spoken of favorably in the Word of God. Then in the third place, then we may speak of self-defense. We read of an Abner that in Azahel was following hard after him. Abner has warned him, but he did not refrain, and to that end, Abner has killed him. In the fourth place, capital punishment instituted after the flood. In Genesis 9, verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God created he him. For the first 1,650 years before the flood, we read of the world that the world was filled with violence. To that end, the government has the duty, as we read in Romans 13, verse 4, for he beareth not the sword in vain. In the Old Testament, 18 sins are mentioned where capital punishment was to be administered. Then in the fifth place, then we speak of accidental deaths. Our boys and girls understand that with the Lord, there are no accidents. We read in Deuteronomy 19 of a man with his neighbor chopping wood, and that the head has come off, the head of the axe has come off the handle, of course. That man had the responsibility to check his axe, that the axe head was firmly fastened to the handle. Our second thought, what is forbidden? Then in the first place we speak of literal murder. As we read in this commandment, thou shalt not kill, premeditated. We have the examples in the scripture of a Jezebel with the false witnesses where Naboth was stoned. We read of an Absalom concerning his brother Ammon, that he has even used religion to murder his brother. We read in the scripture of King Herod, who was given the command to murder all the children in Bethlehem, the area, under 2 years old. We read in the scripture of different ones that have killed because of envy and anger. Oh, think of Achaian. How soon in the scripture, how deeply we have fallen, how we need to be kept. Because Achaian, when he was speaking with his brother Abel on account of envy, that the Lord has accepted the sacrifice of his brother and not his, that he has murdered his brother. It can also be that we murder through another. Think of David, the king of Israel. After he has fallen into a great sin with Bathsheba, then he has ordered Joab to put Uriah in the place where the arrows would fly. And to that end, Uriah was slain. And Nathan has come to David, thou art a man. Then in the fourth place, then we speak of abortion. I read in Proverbs 31 verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. How that sin of abortion, this murdering of the unborn, that it cries to a righteous God for vengeance. The mother's womb, that should be the safest place upon the earth. But in the country of Canada, then it has become the unsafest place, and where the unborn, they cannot speak. To that end, also our calling to do what her hand finds to do. Then in the fifth place, the sin of euthanasia. That is a word that comes from two Greek words, and that means a good death. When we think of those words, all for God's people, then the day of their death, then it shall be better than the day of their birth, because then they shall be delivered, brought into glory, and there to praise the Lord forever and ever for his wonderful works. Then we could speak of active euthanasia, when a physician or another one gives a mortal injection, when such a one quickly dies. We may also speak of passive euthanasia, where food and drink and where the proper medicine is withheld. To that end, what a privilege and what a blessing it is where the Lord has granted our own care home, where our elderly ones are lovingly cared for. Then in the sixth place, the sin of suicide. May the Lord keep us and our children. We have different characters. The one is more easily depressed. We have different makeups. But let us always remember that with the Lord there is still hope and expectation. No impossible cases for the Lord, it is true. The pit can seem so deep and so dark, never to come out. But is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? And John Calvin has said that we may never leave our watchtower, the place where the Lord has placed us, until he calls us. In the Old Testament, we have the examples of Saul, Ahithophel, Zimri. In the New Testament of Judas, oh, let us mention the example of Elijah, who was so discouraged and so depressed, the Lord has helped them in such a wonderful way. Oh, on Mount Carmel he has stood in the strength of the Lord. We would say he had none to stand beside him. But then the Lord has manifested himself as such an almighty and wonderful doing God. The priest of Baal and Ashtaroth were slain. And oh, Elijah had hoped, he had prayed, that the Lord would use it in the land of Israel, that there would come a great repentance, that Baal would be destroyed. But now Jezebel has sent a message that soon he would be as those priests. And then out of discouragement, he ended up in the wilderness under a juniper tree. And then he has asked the Lord to take his life away, but he has left it in the hands of the Lord, and it has pleased the Lord to send an angel that he may be strengthened and that he may continue his journey with that food and drink for 40 days to come to Mount Horeb. And there the Lord has spoken to him in that small voice. Then further, our instructors also speak to willfully expose myself to danger. Of course, there are callings, if we think, in the emergency field. Then many are called upon to expose themselves to great dangers. That is their calling. That is their duty. But then the instructors mean, not unnecessarily. Matthew 4, the verses 6 and 7, where Satan has tempted the Lord Jesus Christ to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, but then Christ has refuted the devil with the word of God, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then we may speak of not using the necessary precautions in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. It was commanded our boys and girls know that many houses in Bible times that they were flat, and then it was the command of the Lord that they must put a guard around that roof, so when the children would go up perhaps to play, that they would not fall off. Then this commandment includes our bodies, which the Lord has wonderful created. Then we may speak of smoking, of drugs, alcohol, gluttony. How many families is alcohol destroyed? Then I have read of a drunkard's testimonial, and I shall read it. That he was given to write to his family and society, I give and bequeath to society a ruined character, a wretched example, and a memory that shall not rot. I give and bequeath to my parents shame, sorrow, and so far as I am concerned, a childless old age. I give and bequeath to my brothers and sisters deep mortification at the mention of my name. I give and bequeath to my wife a broken heart, an early widowhood, a shattered constitution, poverty, and an early grave. I give and bequeath to each of my children poverty, ignorance, and the remembrance that they had an unnatural father. When there may be those that are struggling with these matters, may there be much prayer using the means, and that there may be deliverance with the Lord. There is nothing impossible. Then further, not warning our fellow man in Ezekiel 3, we read of a watchman standing upon the walls of the city, and when the enemy would come, if he would not warn that the blood would be required, then we could even speak of souls murdering when we do not instruct and warn our fellow travelers to that never-ending eternity. Our third thought, the cause is condemned, but let us first sing Psalter 31, the stanzas 2, 4, and 6. With steadfast courage I design, and no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk with purpose true. And what follows, Psalter 31, the stanzas 2, 4, and 6. Thank you. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. What is excluded? What is forbidden? The cause is condemned. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. Then by renewal we hear also of this commandment, that the sixth commandment is exceeding broad. Then the instructors are given to speak of the causes. Then, boys and girls, then we can use the example of a weed. Then in the summertime, then a garden needs to be weeded. And then you know, boys and girls, that it is the easiest and the best that we pluck those weeds out when they are very small. Not only instruction for boys and girls, that is instruction for all of us. At times it happens when we pull out a bigger weed, that it breaks off and that the root stays in the earth. And then we know what happens. Then soon that weed begins to grow. And that is what the instructor speaks of. I read in Jeremiah 17 verse 9 that the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and who shall know it? And in Matthew 15 verse 19, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemy. In Matthew 5 verse 21, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of hellfire. Then our instructors, they are given to speak of thoughts, also of words. In James 3, we read that our tongue is compared to hellfire and to a sword. Thus with our words, when we belittle, when we discourage, when we tease, when we mock, the instructors, they speak of gestures. We read that Cain's countenance has fallen. Then it is necessary that we speak of the eye and the ear gate. Then let us mention we live in a time that many murders are committed because what people have seen, the violence on television, internet, on computer games. May our fathers and mothers have a watchful eye not to spend time with computer games that ruin our soul. Images in our mind that remain there, then it is so necessary that we watch and that we pray. Envy, hatred, anger. When we speak of anger, then we also read in the scripture of a holy anger, because the text we have read out of Matthew 5 verse 21, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Mark, that he was filled with a holy anger because of the unbelief, the hardening of the heart of the Jewish people. May the Lord grant more of that holy anger in our day, with an eye for God's glory and concerning his kingdom, and a desire of revenge. How many literal murders have been committed because of a desire of revenge, and where that revenge has not been distinguished, but where the anger has increased and where it has ended in murder. Nevertheless, the instructors, they speak of thoughts, of words, and of deeds, that they are all counted as sin against the holy and a righteous God against the sixth commandment. And nevertheless, when we speak of these matters of anger, of revenge, think of Haman concerning Mordecai, think of Herodias, that she had such a heart of revenge, because John the Baptist has honestly warned her concerning the sin against the seventh commandment. And nevertheless, there is a difference concerning this commandment, whether in thoughts, words, or in deeds. We read in John 19, verse 11, when the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared before Pontius Pilate, that he has declared that those that have delivered him into Pontius Pilate's hands were the guiltier ones. The Westminster Larger Catechism, in question, the questions concerning the sixth commandment, then they have stated that each sin is very sinful. Oh, let us remember that each sin that we commit, whether in thought, in word, or in deed, that it deserves temporal and eternal punishment. And nevertheless, it is clear in the scripture that there is a difference, to make it simple for our boys and girls. Let's say that you have someone, a young boy or a young girl, that does not something so nice, and that you are filled with revenge, that you think, how shall I get him back or her back? Then it is best that we bow our knees and that we ask the Lord to take that thought away from us. But of course it is worse when we speak very bad and harsh words to the one that has done it, to try to belittle them. And of course, it is even a greater sin if you would beat such a one up. But they are all sin. How necessary that we are much on our knees, and we can all understand, even our boys and girls, when we have folded hands, then we cannot fight. But the Westminster Larger Catechism, then they have stated four matters concerning the greatness of a sin. Then in the first place, they have mentioned who that sin is committed against. And then they are given to speak of sin against the Father, against the Son, and against the Holy Ghost. In the second place, they are given to speak of sins against fathers, and maybe boys and girls, you can remember the past week, the different fathers that we have mentioned, when we sin against those in authority, those whom the Lord has placed over against us. Thus first, the persons who commit the sin, whether they are younger, whether they are older, the place which the Lord has given them, whether they must be an example for their fellow man, secondly, against who, and thirdly, the nature of the sin. And then they have spoken of sins that are committed against admonishment, against warnings, against love, against providential dispensations. They have spoken whether it is a sin of ignorance, a sin of infirmity, or whether it is a sin that is committed boldly against our conscience and against many warnings. Do we not read in Luke 12, verse 48, that he who has known the way and still sins shall be beaten with many stripes? Then in the fourth place, then they are also given to speak of the time and the place. Then they have mentioned sins committed on the Lord's day, sins committed in his house. They have broadly explained those matters. Oh, to be sure, they have stated that each sin is a sin against a holy and a righteous God. But yet there is a difference. Our forethought, the virtues commanded, as we find in 107. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? Thus in question and answer 107, it speaks of the positive and the answer no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In short, as we read it in Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do you even so unto them. Thus concerning our neighbor, closer neighbors, Martin Luther has stated in a certain place that the closest neighbor in a family circle is a dear wife. And then the children, we have the neighbors that live in the community. We also have the neighbors in the world. The different degrees we are called to do what our hand finds to do. We are called upon to love our neighbors as ourselves. Then we do well to consider who we are, our infirmities, and therefore the instructors have stated to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness toward him. I read in Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Of course, not a peace at the expense of the old truth and the old ways. Try to live peaceably with them, but not at the expense of the truth. And when we read this answer, boys and girls, then this year in school, then you have been studying certain words that have special connection also to this commandment. Then you have spoken of the words respect, compassion, and harmony. Do we not read in Psalm 133, the blessing when brethren may dwell in unity, what a blessing that is. And then the instructors have added, and to show mercy and all kindness toward our neighbor, to help in time of need, to speak a word in season, have a forgiven spirit, to even forgive our enemies, Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount as spoken in Matthew 5, verse 44. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Thus clear instruction that the instructors have given in this Lord's Day. We have read together out of Luke 10, the verses 25 through 37, where there has come one asking him what he must do to inherit eternal life. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A blessing. That man was busy with eternal life. That man had an impression that he would die, that he was traveling to eternity. It is true, he has come in the way of temptation. There can be sometime the same question, but then it is the matter, how was that question asked? Out of what kind of a heart? Oh, what a blessing it is when we may be busy with our eternal welfare, that we are given to beg and ask much. Oh, we have to learn that we cannot inherit by our works eternal life, that it is grace and grace alone. Nevertheless, let us not throw stones too quickly. This man, this certain lawyer, has asked, what must they do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus has asked him what is written in the law. He has given a very good answer: to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. It would have been better if he used that word "my." Nevertheless, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then he is answered aright, willing to justify himself: who is my neighbor? And then Jesus has given the parable of the Good Samaritan, that there was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He has fallen in the hand of thieves. They have left him as half dead. Then that thief was very guilty of the sixth commandment. And then a priest has come by. He did not have a hand in trying to nearly murder that man. But we read he walked on the other side of the road, and he continued he was very guilty of the sixth commandment because he did not show, as our instructor said, to show meekness, mercy, and all kindness toward him. Undoubtedly, he justified himself. Maybe he has given much for the temple service, busy in the service of the temple. Perhaps he had many duties upon his shoulders. Others had more time, but very guilty. And the Levite, we read likewise. But then a Samaritan, and we know in Bible times it is very clearly written also in the New Testament that the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. Many times when they traveled from Jerusalem to Galilee, they even did not go through the land of Samaria, but they went around. But now a Samaritan, we would say, someone that was not in agreement with the Jewish people. Then he saw that man half dead. And then he was filled with compassion. And then he poured wine and oil in those wounds. Oh, sometime a few simple kind words. What a blessing, what an oil, and what a wine that could be. Then he has picked that man up, taken his time, his money, placed him upon his animal, brought him to an inn, sat up with him. Thus he is given to sacrifice some of his sleep, some of his rest. And in the morning he spoke to the innkeeper, and he gave him some money and told them whatever would cost them more, till that man was healed, that he would pay. Thus a simple explanation of question and answer 107. The sixth commandment, then by renewal congregation. Oh, of course, a blessing. I read in Matthew 12, verse 24, because iniquity shall increase, the love of many shall wax cold. How necessary. The Lord has promised for those that honor his word, that by his common goodness he shall grant, that also that love shall abound. What a blessing it is when there may be much love amongst us. But congregation, when we have heard the explanation, then we have all heard that we are all very guilty. And what is now necessary? That we become guilty. That we are given to confess, repent, and to seek for that mercy which is through Jesus Christ. We have an example of a murderer who we would think has stood by the cross, because Pontius Pilate, then he has given the Jewish people a choice. Was the custom on the Passover. And then he has placed Barabbas, thief and a murderer. He must be hung on the cross. Capital punishment. And then Pontius Pilate, very wrong, of course. Then he has placed Barabbas, that murderer, opposite that holy and innocent Jesus. And then he has laid that choice before the people. And then under the influence of the leaders, when Pontius Pilate has come out, warned by his wife, then they have cried out that Barabbas must go free and Jesus must be led to the cross. Then we would think that Barabbas, when he was freed, that he would follow the multitude to the cross. And when a Barabbas, young and old, have we ever become a Barabbas? And when a Barabbas, how it was spiritually, we leave it lie. But even in a natural way, when Barabbas has seen Jesus on the cross, then he was given to understand that Jesus was a substitute, because he deserved to hang on the cross. What a blessed gospel that the cross of Jesus Christ is for guilty Barabbases, that have to confess with tears that they are also guilty of the sixth commandment, that they are even very guilty. But what a rich gospel that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it cleanses from all sins. We read in Psalm 130, the verses 3 and 4 also applies to the sixth commandment, also applies to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then by renewal, then we have heard our guilt, wilt thou use it in the way of uncovering. May it be used as a schoolmaster to bring to the cross of Christ in the way of examination for humility and a fleeing to that fountain. Lord, we have heard of a lawyer. It is true, the question was asked in the wrong manner, the wrong way. Nevertheless, he was given to speak of eternal life. Well, to work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Ah, Lord, do a great work amongst us. Thou granteth this precious time of grace as a time of preparation, and our time is so short, and it is so uncertain. Wilt thou remember us this Lord's Day? May we be given to keep it holy. Wilt thou help the family circles? Remember Father as the head of the household. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies and return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The first wedding announcement of Luke Martin Both and Rihanna Corrine Oscom. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be a midweek preparatory service on Thursday, May 5 at 7:30 p.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating, and the Learning and Living and the Insight into Magazines are at the exit. Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.